Well, plenty to catch you up on today, gentlemen, in there.
Oh, Mitchell Stark, we got the rich Uncle Mal, the PM, and then what about schoolie of the year, Marty? We're having real trouble trying to find someone crazy enough.
No, that's right. Wait, but today's Tequila Tuesday, so they should come good after 4 days.
That's all coming up in the catch-up. Enjoy thyself.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Oh, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. It is lovely to have him with us. Now, Rich Uncle Mal, good morning to you.
Morning,
straight
sir.
Away. Good morning.
Hello, and hello to you, young Brendan. I hope you're keeping your nose clean.
Yes, indeed, yes, sir.
He is doing that, yes. Hey, so it's schoolies over this week and on the weekend. How did you celebrate graduating from Sydney High?
Well, it was actually Sydney Grammar, but thank you for asking, Ed.
Oh, sorry.
It was a relatively quiet affair, I have to say, by comparison with today's festivities on the Goldie. Mm-hmm. And I do love the Goldie. It's a terrific place for the working class to gather and enjoy the fruits of their labour. Or watch barkers clash violently. When I graduated from Brown Nose College, as we called the grammar school, it was just, like I said, a quiet affair. 200 of the best and brightest took a 30-metre sloop out, fully crewed, and we demolished a truckload of Bolly Beluga, smashed some bucket bongs, and now we run the world. It really was a marvellous time.
It's wonderful
turnaround. Well, listen,
us, yes.
I saw you post a selfie of you and Obama over at APEC, the conference. Are you guys good mates?
Well, we have had a very close relationship. I'll be sad to see him go. But since I became Prime Minister in September last year, it seems so much longer, doesn't it?
No, yes,
still
it does.
Long enough.
I've still done nothing, absolutely nothing. Anyway, Barry and I immediately hit it off, and there hasn't been a closer black-and-white relationship since Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder sat down at the keyboard to record Ebony and Ivory.
Right,
now, actually, it was actually Barry Obama himself that took the initiative on our first meeting. He was sitting behind me at APEC last year, and he just reached around.
Oh,
he grabbed me
that
very reassuringly.
That must have been nice.
Whilst he was giving me a very firm handshake with those enormous, beautiful hands, all the while reaching around, he whispered in my ear an invitation to the White House. And ever since, we've been terrifically close.
Yeah, that does sound like a wonderful reach
around. They bring men together, those moments.
Reached out and around.
Okay, I get it.
Okay, we're right from it.
Hey, what did they, you're in Peru. What did they make you wear at APEC this year, PM?
Well, I do love the sartorial splendour of the national costume. Costume at APEC. I'm very happy to adorn myself in traditional dress. This year we were in Peru, like you say, Ed. I was hoping for a colourful poncho or a wide-brimmed hat, but alas, they dressed us down and we wore the traditional dun-coloured sash, which was somewhat disappointing. But I can say that the after-party was a blast, with a lot of traditional Peruvian produce available to sample extensively. I haven't been to bed. I asked the pilot of RAAF1 if I could take the control. I mean, at this rate, it's only 4 sleeps till Christmas.
Yes. All right, we better let you go.
Before I go, I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks Callum Vale.
Oh, yeah.
Hello to all your constituents out there at Callum Vale. What do they do out there, Ed?
They work hard, mate, and they get it just.
There's a good tavern there.
Country. Yes.
Well, a lovely, a good tavern. Mm. It sounds medieval. Get into it.
Thank you, Rich Uncle Mal.
Thanks, Peter.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Claire from the newsroom is joining us in the studio. Hi, Claire.
Good morning.
Now, you don't know why we've called you in, and you do a... it's not to correct you on Faf du Plessis's name. We've already done that.
We've done that, yeah.
Yeah, South Africans ringing in going, it's Faf, huh? It's du Plessis. So,
100%, I'm telling you.
Claire, you did it, had a story yesterday in the news, and I turned to Marto and I said, did you hear that? And he goes, yes, I did. And then we thought, let's not tell her. Let's just bring her in tomorrow. We'll surprise Claire and we'll get her to give us more details on this story.
And the rumour mill is alive with talk. Terry Irwin and Russell Crowe are planning to get married. New Idea claims the pair are set to go public with their romance because Ms. Crockhunter can't hide it any longer.
Ms. Crockhunter. Righto. So what are you doing? You're very sound. You're a wonderful news hound, a news girl, and all of a sudden you're going to New Idea.
Yeah, well, guys, news is a depressing place to be sometimes. Yeah, and yeah. I tell you what, a bit of rumour mill. Mm. We love it.
All right.
We love it.
But listen, okay. What sort of, is it true or not? Like, blokes driving to work right now going, I want some true stuff.
As true as New Idea ever is, yes.
Jeez, that's a low bar.
As rusty ever. Now, listen, I've gone to New Idea since you've told us about this.
What do you got?
New Idea's also saying that Rusty's been spotted semi-nude on the deck of Terry's place at the Sunshine Coast on the veranda, waving to locals walking past.
Truth,
that's hot.
Bang!
Truth. Wow. Hello.
Is that true? No, that's not true. There's no photos of him, Jimmy. There's just some idiot at the servo who said, yeah, I think I saw Rusty the other night.
Claire, do you want a
half
scoop?
Half naked.
Give us a scoop.
So Bindi Irwin was on the final episode of my quiz show, Have You Been Paying Attention?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And she came along and Terry was there with her.
Yeah.
Pants up, pants high.
Mm. High pants, yeah.
See, that's the problem. Rusty likes his women with their pants pulled up high. That's why he ditched Danielle Spencer.
Well,
she was low riding on the jeans.
She did used to low ride a bit, and no sign of Rusty. There was no Rusty in the building. It was Terry.
Was there a text message? Did she hide her phone all of a sudden? One of the bing.
Did you ask Bindi direct?
I didn't ask Bindi.
We didn't know about the rumor until you told us yesterday.
Well, she's Ms. Crockhunter. Terry Irwin, as you heard in my story, is Ms. Crockhunter. We need to get the question direct to them.
Yeah, I get it. But do you have any other sources of information apart from... Because this will be Australia's biggest glamour couple of all time. Is this move over Blinky Bill and whoever he used to go out with, the female Blinky Bill? Who? What was her name?
It was Nutsy.
Nutsy? Well, that's a bit perverse.
Yeah, I know.
But is there any other source on this apart from New Idea?
No, purely magazines.
Terry hasn't had another bloke since Steve, has she?
No. No. Apparently Russell's the guy because they understand each other. They've both been through, missing partners. They loved a lot.
I'm going to read. Now I've got it on the internet. The truth is they're both at a similar stage of their lives and have so much in common. Kids looking for love, big careers. It was only a matter of time before they fell in love. Oh, turn it up. I got two arms and two legs. And I saw a girl the other day with two arms, two legs. It was only a matter of time.
It was a matter of time. Love meant to be.
Can't wait.
Come on, mate.
I'll get back to the real news.
Thank you.
Yeah. Balance it out with some Woman's Day, not just New Idea.
Ed Cavill, you just revealed how the ball tampering with the South African-Australian cricket match went.
Yeah, Sourav Ganguly was the one, Marto, who brought it up, who said, if you put sweets on one side of the ball, it affects the trajectory. And you were like, how does it do that? Luckily, we got smart listeners like Mark from Nunda. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, you've seen it in real life, mate.
Yeah, I played baseball. I didn't play cricket. I was a baseballer.
Same thing.
But, the leather ball, exactly. And you look at all American baseballers, they chew gum. And when I was playing, everyone used to chew gum on a pitcher. I was a catcher. But it'd thicken your saliva, and it leaves a film on one side. And what they used to do is get their fingers and get it on your fingers so you get a good curveball out of it. It actually changes the velocity of the ball a bit.
The velocity of one side of the ball, which makes it slide through the air differently.
Correct.
So when you see Faf du Plessis pretending he didn't mean it, what do you say, Mark from Nunda?
I'd say he's probably been watching a bit of baseball himself maybe got the idea and thought, well, why not give it
a go? Thank you, Mark. You might be called as a witness at the hearing today, Mark, so I hope you've got a suit. Thanks, buddy. Good knowledge. Yeah, Marta, we do this every year. We collect all of the grabs that the reporters get as they interview schoolies in Gold Coast and in Bali. And then we put together the biggest maniacs, the people having the most fun, and we crown our schoolie of the year. We are having a terrible time trying to even get a few nominations going because the schoolies don't seem to be...
Young people today, Ed, they just don't seem to get stuck into it. My son's down there, I reckon he is. But anyway, we can't get a hold of him.
Yeah,
listen to the street talk in the Gold Coast Bulletin. What's the best thing you've done so far at schoolies? David, 18, from Burpengary. Free pancakes and the Red Frogs. I highly recommend it.
No.
Dave, come on, mate.
What about this? What about Aaron? Aaron is 17 years old, and they've asked him, what do you hope to have achieved now that you've finished school? Probably make my family proud. No, this is the week to make your family unproud. Very, very unproud. We're getting.
Well, what about this one? Yeah. Tyler, 17, from Kilcore. Coy, what do you hope to achieve now that you've finished high school? I hope to go to university to study criminal. No!
No!
You're at schoolies. You don't want to even think about the future. Wrong.
This is the problem that
bad
we're having.
Bad people.
Bad schoolies.
Good schoolies.
This is the type of thing that we got last year.
I'm sorry, Mom, if I get arrested!
That's right. Good schoolie.
That's what you want.
And then we get the reporters heading out, and here's the problem, I think. They're interviewing them while they're holding a boost juice, like at lunchtime. They've been up for an hour, they haven't done any damage to themselves, and this is what they sound like.
Log out before you go out, that's what I always say.
Boring!
What?
What are we doing to these children in our educational institutions? Have we got another one there?
Promising to behave yourself?
I promise I'll behave myself.
What?
The reporters are forcing them to pledge to behave themselves. No, this is the type of thing we want to be hearing.
I love you. Melissa's mom. The first time ever.
Bye. Well played.
Incoherent.
2015 schoolies. Great year.
Yeah,
this year, you get these reporters who. What is this?
Surface paradise. Can't get any better than that.
What? That's a schoolie.
That was not a schoolie. That was a librarian who works at the library
What's
in the middle of
to the
Surface
kids
Paradise.
These days?
You got any more of those boring schoolies for me?
One more.
Partying hard and hanging out with all of our friends.
And much
sleep. And shopping.
Shopping.
You should be waking up in the fountain at Pacific Fair, not waiting for Kukai to open to calmly buy yourself
a new
bikini.
That is it. If the so-called TV reporters on high, big wage, if they can't do the bloody job, I'm heading down there tonight. If they can't be bothered going out at night time into Cavill Avenue and pushing and shoving and getting a little bit of vomit on their nice $100,000 shoes, I'm going to do it myself.
Can I ask for you to do us all a favour, Marta, when you do it?
Yeah.
You go to the schoolies, you say, you check their wristband, are you 18?
Yep.
Yes, here I am, I'm 18.
Yeah.
And then before you interview them, they have to fail a breathalyzer.
I'll get one from Super Cheap. If they're over the limit, that's the only way they'll get interviewed.
Don't come back unless you get some of this.
I'm sorry, Mom, if I get arrested.
Yeah.
If I can't find any of them, I'm going to Shooters and going to get a few toolies.
Marta and Ed on Triple M.
First Dates is back on Channel 7 tonight. Now, Marta, have you seen this show where they got a little fake restaurant set up and they just get, they try and find two of Australia's worst people and they put them on a date? It's a bit of fun.
It described to me and you've just done it again. I understand they kiss really quickly, so it is a bit like schoolies.
We all know what they're up to. So it's all about the introductions.
When I don't know. What do you mean what they're up to? What are they up to? What are their intentions?
Like if we get the worst people we can and we stick them in a room together, then someone's going to say something or do something that's going to, be a little bit, not interesting is the wrong word, a little bit salacious, which is what they do, and that's fine.
That's all
that's
they want.
Absolutely fine. Yep. No worries at all. There are much worse things on telly at the moment, Don't ask me to list them because we'll be here for a while. So,
Married at First Sight. No, what's that one?
Oh, yeah, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
Ouch. Anyway. So, First Dates, here we go. This is one of the descriptions that one of the girls gave herself the other day.
First up tonight is Instagram queen, Bianca.
If a guy gets me laughing, I'll naturally just, these will bounce, so I'm sure they'll fall in love.
Her brand.
Instagram, I have 24,000 followers. I am definitely the selfie queen. Forget Kim Kardashian. I know all my angles. I'm creative with my selfies, and you'll never see the same selfie twice with me.
Put it down. Bring her down.
Okay.
The bouncy bit. Can we go back to that?
Yeah, that's the thing. She started really well. These will bounce. Great. Let's get a tramp. And then it went to I know all my angles. I'm the selfie queen.
I'm nothing worse. Kim Kardashian of Australia.
Yeah, awful. Then they sort of they put them together with people like this.
Blue-eyed British boy Will is already waiting at the bar.
So I've only ever had one bird girlfriend of it. I like just an easygoing girl that's up for doing things. Just an all-round sort, really. Something with a bit of everything. I'd probably go legs and arse more than boobs, but I wouldn't complain if they got a nice set on them, would I? Who would?
Oh, my God.
He's the worst.
Oh.
Yeah?
Imagine bringing him home as the father of her.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine he comes home. Hello, Mr. Martin.
Worst human I've ever listened to.
Got yourself a top bird there.
Yeah,
you
right. All right. There, you're all right.
Apples and pears, mate. Apples and pears.
Jesus.
You think they're bad?
Why don't you tell me there's someone worse? Right. They can't be.
Tonight it's back on. Have a listen to tonight's lineup of scum.
Hi, I'm Craig Cairns. I love to have a drink and get sacked for off-field indiscretions.
Oh, g'day, it's Bo Ryan here. Oh, I would love to go on a first date with you. Just maybe let's not tell my partner about this one, okay?
Hey, it's Susie from the block. Oh, sorry, sometimes they just fall out. You want to have a drink with me and Richard Wilkins? The bar opens at 10, but I've got a back door we can be drinking by 9.
Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.
Moto, we're very, very excited for the next test match because apart from anything else, we're going to see a number of Australians that we haven't seen before, but one man that we will be seeing, he is now the backbone of our test lineup in terms of the bowling. Mitchell Stark, hello, mate.
Hello, guys. How are we?
Well, we're okay. Have you met some of these new teammates of yours?
I haven't yet.
Have you ever bowled to Matthew Renshaw?
I've never seen him face the ball, to be honest.
This is going to be a great week.
And what about Hanscom? You must have seen a little bit of Hanscom.
Yeah, I've seen Pete. He's obviously been around. He was around the Australian one-day team over in England last year, and he's obviously been in some cracking form. So, look, he's coming into the group with a 200 under his belt, and obviously some of the New South Wales boys saw him firsthand last week. So look, it's exciting for everyone involved, and exciting to try and change around obviously the last couple of weeks.
Mitch, I'll just say we understand. We work in radio. Job security isn't great. So have you been talking about this, you guys, with your closest friends in the team? Go, God, we're going to lose so-and-so. And do you ring? Like, do you ring Adam Voges? You know, it's a funny old thing, a team sport.
Yeah, look, it's obviously disappointing for the guys who aren't here this week. And I think we spend so much time together. We're all so close. So it is, look, you send the boys a few messages. And obviously Adam copped that one on the lid this week as well. So it's great to see him doing well. But obviously disappointing for the guys who aren't there this week. But on the flip side, exciting for some fresh faces to come in and an exciting opportunity for those guys as well.
Talking to Mitchell Stark here. Hey, Mitchell, with the pink ball, hey, you don't mind the pink ball, do you? Because it swings a bit.
Yeah, we're a bit mixed on that one. But, yeah, look, it's exciting for the bowlers, I guess, to see a bit of movement. We didn't see much last week in Hobart.
No, we saw movement. Yeah. It was just the ball crashing into the boundary flying into the South African's hands.
When does the pink ball work best, Ed? Mitchell, what time of the day? Is it just on sundown?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. We had a pink ball game at the Gabba this 4 weeks ago for New South Wales. And it was sort of an interesting one where it did a fair bit, sort of half an hour after the dinner break.
Yeah, right.
So we played the test match here last year, and it was sort of a half an hour before and after that dinner break where a lot of wickets fell. And it was that artificial light when that started to take over. A few wickets fell, and it sort of became difficult to bat then. So it seems to be a bit easier at the start of the game when we start at 2 o'clock, and then becomes a little bit harder later in the day and towards the close of play. So, yeah, look, it's an interesting one in terms of tactics and how the ball will react and how teams approach, I guess, the conditions this week.
Now, I love cricket, Mitchell Stark. I'm a Sheffield Shield official.
Come on, get on with it. You don't have to show him your credentials.
I do have to show him because then I can ask boring questions, and he's used to cricket nuffies like me hassling him all the time. Hey, who's got the most mongrel in the team these days? We've heard Alan Border talk about it, Jeff Lawson, Ricky Ponting mentioned it as well. We spoke to Bing Ali, he mentioned it. Out of the guys in the team, a bit of mongrel is what we need. Who's got the most mongrel in them in the team now?
That's a good question. You know, I'm not sure how to answer that one. I guess Matty Wade coming to the side offers a bit behind the stumps in terms of his chat there and likes to get involved with the opposition's opposition guys, as we saw sort of through the South African series. So there's a bit of voice there. I guess the bowlers like to offer some here and there, and we're probably a little bit different to how it used to be in the past and that sort of thing. So, look, it's we sort of take it on a little bit in bits and pieces as a group. It's probably not as
not as spicy as it used to be.
Hey, Mitch, did you watch Family Feud last night?
I was on a flight to Adelaide.
Oh, bugger. Well, that was your girlfriend on it, wasn't it?
Yeah, my wife, yeah.
Oh, she is your wife, Elisa Healy. And
I've done Family Feud. I lost to a bloke that didn't speak English, so let's not talk about that. All right, Mitchell Starc, we love Test cricket. We're looking forward to a new era in the Aussie team, mate. Best of luck.
Thanks, guys. Hope for a good week this week.
One of our favourite things we do on a Tuesday is animal facts.
Love it. Love an animal fact.
So much came from... We started it last week with Attenborough was all over the joint and telling us stuff, but I can't believe another celebrity, Ricky Gervais, he's come up with an animal fact to get us underway today.
You can lead a cow upstairs, but not down. I looked into that. It's true. It's because the way their joints don't oppose. But I think of the poor bastard who found that out the hard way. Come on, Daisy. Down you go. No, I don't go downstairs. My way with joints. I don't care about your joints. My wife's coming home from work in 5 minutes. Get down the stairs.
He's an idiot. Horses, the same thing. Mm. Upstairs, don't do down.
Is that why they always got ramps for them? There's always horse ramps everywhere you look. Cow ramps, horse ramps. Good one. Now is your time. If you've got yourself an animal fact, let's have a prize going for the best one. We're going to get, what is your animal fact? Marta, you must have a couple up your sleeve. I'm looking for those. Animal facts, prepare to amaze Brisbane with your incredible animal facts. I've got one straight off. Ready?
Yeah.
Gorillas can catch human colds.
Whoa. Is that a fact?
Yes.
All right. You could throw anything at us because I haven't got time to check that.
Ostriches run faster than horses.
Mind blown. Mine's been blown.
They're beauties, mate. I love animal facts. You watch. Yeah. Everyone's got at least one.
Chris, give us your animal fact, buddy.
Interesting animal fact. I was listening to a science show the other night, and rats have a sense of humour. They laugh and they chuckle when they're playing together.
Wow. Rats.
What about when a rat trap hits them? What's their reaction like?
Same as yours.
Do they swear?
Yeah. Stay on the line, Chris.
That's a goodie. A
great start. Jason's from Moray Field. Hey, Jace, what is your animal fact, buddy?
The Sydney Harbour Bridge was designed from the genesis of the Tasmanian Tiger's skeletal system.
Holy moly. I'm not going to doubt that. You've crossed architecture. You can stay on the line, young man.
The coat hanger is a Tasmanian devil.
No, Tasmanian Tiger, the dog one.
Ah, righto.
Yeah, that makes sense now that you think about it. Paul's from Narangba. Now, Paul, your amazing animal fact?
Is that the koalas feed their young feces so that they can deal with the toxins in the eucalypt leaves because they pass the enzymes on.
Whoa.
That's disgusting.
That's wonderfully disgusting.
No wonder, don't stand in it. No wonder Chinese koalas are so keen on baby formula because that is a rough way to start your
That's
life.
That's a beauty. And finally, Tony from Cornubia. What's your animal fact?
Morning, guys. The animals on the Australian emblem, the kangaroo and the emu, they don't take a step backwards. That's why they're there.
That's right. Yes, I like that one. Give it to him. I'm not going to blow my...
I've heard that one, but I didn't know that's why they're there. I thought it was just a coincidence.
That's good, Tony. Okay, who are we going to give it to today? It has to be Jason with his Sydney Harbour Bridge, doesn't it? That's quite incredible.
That was
Jason.
Outlandish.
On you one today, Jason. Well done.
Thanks, guys.
We can't
appreciate
check
that.
It because they are extinct, but we'll believe you.
Let's go with it.
The Waterloo Bay Hotel, you've got a $100 voucher there, my friend. It's Berrima Street in Wynnum, waterloobayhotel.com.au.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, we will play this again next week because there are so many people that we didn't get to, and I'm not going to read them out because there's so many wonderful animal facts to come.
Just into the news, you were talking about Matthew Wade being colourblind.
Yeah.
I picked up some audio yesterday. I was listening to him, and this is what I went, what? Hold on. You're the wicketkeeper. You're supposed to be the sharpest player in the team. But how can we have this? We're playing with a pink ball, if anyone doesn't know, in the third test, which actually has some interest in it, on Thursday. Matthew Wade had this to say, and I thought, whoa.
Yeah, I'm getting better every year. Obviously, I'm colourblind, so it just takes a little bit longer to pick the ball up. I see it clear enough, but you just got to get used to it. Now they play with pink balls.
A little bit longer to pick the ball up.
Like, when they've edged it and it's flown straight past you. That's he had real trouble catching off spinners, remember, as
Isn't
well.
Isn't that why he got dropped 2 years ago?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, he has this to say about, specifically about pink.
What colour is it for you?
It's pink. It's just, the first couple of balls in the nets, it takes just a little bit longer to pick the actual length of the ball up, but it is what it is.
Yeah, he said it was pink because someone told him it was pink. What colour is it actually in our...
You know what else is causing trouble for colourblind people?
What?
The new $5 notes. The new $5 notes, I've heard a couple of people... I've got to remember my brother's colourblind, so I've heard a couple of people who are colourblind say that the pink and purple... And by the way, that's a newsflash for them if they colour it is.
Oh, I thought it was green and blue.
Yeah, that particular blend of pink and purple is very hard for colourblind people to pick up. So is it sort of slightly
Remind
ironic?
Me what they see traffic lights. What's red? What do they think red is?
No, isn't it? It's the problem is that it's close to the green and the orange, so it sort of merges into a... You know what? I'd love to talk to colour... Blokes, men are affected by colourblindness a lot more than women. Particularly red-green. I'd love to talk to some colourblind people.
Why can't they go into the army or is it the Air Force?
No. Isn't it because of the instruments? I thought it was because of the instruments that they have to use inside the aircraft. It's the same for like flying for Qantas. I don't think you're allowed to be colourblind.
We have anyone? Actually, yeah. So what's Matthew Wade normally seeing while he's batting and wicket-keeping for a red ball?
No, I believe from what my brother's told me is it's the in-between colours that become. Even more of a problem than like I don't want to use the phrase grey area, but I think that's the issue is when it's not hard colours. The issue is the colours in between. I may be wrong, but that's what he's always told me. Ross is from Jim Boomba. Now, Ross, you say you understand Matthew Wade's comments. Why is that, mate?
So basically, with the green ball on the pink ball on the green field, I totally get it because we were drilling some holes in some turf one day, marking out with pink paint. And consequently, couldn't see the pink paint, so couldn't see where I was drawing the holes.
You couldn't see the pink paint at all. What did you see? Nothing.
Well, it kind of, what you were saying before, Marta, kind of merged in with the green. So yes. I had to really, really look.
Oh my God.
To find the pink paint. So it was one of those things where if I really looked for a bit, so my eyes could adjust, I could see it. But at first, I'd be like, where the hell is it?
That's an issue.
So, Ross, are you concerned about a colourblind wicketkeeper with a pink ball? Are you concerned by this?
I guess so, mate. Like, because he's delayed on seeing the ball, it makes it harder to catch. So,
yeah, thank you, Ross.
I feel his pain.
Yeah, thanks, Ross. Good call, buddy. Thank you. Here comes Matthew from Enoggera. Now, we're speaking about the army. Now, Matthew, you're colourblind and in the army.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Yeah, what's your colour blindness, Matthew?
Well, in defence, it's probably the same for Civilian Street, but we know about it a bit more, I suppose.
Yeah,
but,
they grade
us between colour perception 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
So if you're 4, you pretty much can't get in defence at all. You're pretty much all seen black and white. Most people are colour perception 1, but I'm 3, so I have trouble with reds and browns, blues and purples.
Yeah, when you say you have trouble, do they just sort of merge together, or what does it look like?
Well, obviously, notice that as a young fella, when you're trying to do colouring in, you might colour a purple sky and think it's blue.
Okay. Yeah,
As an affected my job, and they only let you do certain jobs in the army.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Which is a bit bizarre because I can't be an electrician in the army, but I can on Civvy Street.
Oh, God, righto.
Okay.
Hey, what do you see when a red light, that's why I believe they put the traffic lights in the order with the stop at the top. What are you seeing? What colour do you believe that is?
I see those, okay. Yeah. If you turn them upside down, I'd be able to identify that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's when they make them small. Like there's a lantern test, so there's a couple of grades of colour perception testing. You do the Ishihara book. And if you fail that, which is the dots, everyone's familiar with that one?
Yes, I've seen those coloured dots.
The second grade to that test is you do a lantern test, and they shine these tiny little lights towards you, and you've got to tell them what colour it is.
Oh, annoying.
And then apparently the fourth test is now you go out and you wicket keep for a bit with the pink ball on green.
Just give it a go, see how we go.
Hey, Matt, good knowledge.
James,
thanks, buddy.
James from Mount Ominy, are you colourblind?
Yeah, sure I am.
Yeah, what does it do for you? How does it impact?
Well, I'm a primary school teacher,
and I'm also an AFL umpire. When I'm teaching, it gets a little bit confusing sometimes when you're doing colouring, especially the kids. I think I've coloured the Australian flag purple a number of times.
Yeah, that's okay. Unreal. That's the Navy one or something. And what about with the AFL? What if the uniforms are too close, does it get hard for you?
Yeah, you've got to make sure you're really concentrating. So it's also good, you know, having the white shorts sometimes for the away team.
There you go.
It makes it a little bit clearer. But, yeah, it gets challenging at
this time. Yes, there you go. Thank you, James. There we go. Excellent. Finally, here's Matthew. Matthew, you're colourblind, and were you in the Navy?
That's correct, yes.
And how'd you go?
Well, I had trouble with electrical, a little bit like the Army chap earlier. I went through all the tests, and I passed the lantern test. It's pretty easy because the lights stand out, but I failed miserably on the dot book test.
Okay.
In particular, if it's a green wire with a red stripe, it all just looks green to me. And the same with a yellow stripe, a yellow wire with an orange stripe,
same.
It just looks yellow.
What about flags in the distance, being in the Navy?
Thankfully, I was just in the engine room, so I didn't have to worry about
Didn't care, right. Okay.
There you go. Hey, just quickly, Matt, with clothes, my brother used to come home with some pretty interesting coloured shirts.
Oh,
does
really?
That happen to you?
Yeah, I bought a few ties that I thought were a certain colour, bought it home, and my partner and my mum have gone, that's not the colour you've wanted to buy.
That's great. Thank you,
everybody.
What footy
team do you support, Matthew?
Oh, yeah.
I support English football, so I support Arsenal.
What colour jersey are they?
Red.
What colour are they, Ed?
Yeah, they're red.
Oh, he's correct.
Right. No, he's got that, yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Funny world.
There's been a bit of chat between your lovely wife and my wife about it. Can you get us Adele tickets? They want to go see Adele in Brisbane.
Sold out, thank God.
Thank
my
goodness.
Excuse. Sold out.
That's what I heard. Sold out in 10
sold
seconds
out.
Or something.
Sorry, love.
Now we're seeing the secondary market open up, or scalping, whatever you want to call it. There were people complaining online yesterday. I couldn't get on to log on to buy my Adele tickets, and now they're reappearing online for four times the price.
How much are Adele tickets?
I think they ranged from, like, you know, under 200 to over 4 or something like that. It was expensive.
Stuff. She hasn't pulled any dance moves. She just stands there singing.
I agree. It's just a singing concert.
And she's got a good voice. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but at least Andre Rieu has a fake castle in the background.
Yeah, exactly. So, and sometimes a pumpkin pulled by horses, Andre Rieu. He really gets stuck into it.
He goes flat out, doesn't he?
Mm.
So the question was, we started asking each other, well, what's the most you paid? What's the most you've paid to go and see your favourite artist? And we are in lockstep with the word on the street in the Courier Mail.
Oh, what's the word on the street?
Jeez.
They've asked the same question. What's the most you've ever spent on a concert ticket? Here we go. Ready? First things first.
Anyone over 100?
Bloke by the name of James, 28 years old, says he reckons he paid $200 to see the Lion King musical. Not a concert, James.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's the last thing he saw. He was so disappointed with entertainment, he hasn't left the house since.
thanks for playing, though.
Yeah, give me some real ones.
Melinda. Yeah. Melinda is 45. Okay. She's from Manly. I've only ever paid about as much as $200 for a ticket, she said. But I would have liked to have gone to see Adele.
Hmm.
So poor old Adele, poor old Melinda's missed out. With
no, I think did they start another concert? Is there another concert on? We should really be up more with our Adele news.
A second show in Brisbane was added.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there
is
you
it
go.
Sold
is
out?
Yeah, well, not yet, because I wasn't going to
say.
Oh,
there, what's her name? Give it, get it, yeah, tell her.
Melinda. There you go.
Whatever, Linda.
Melinda.
What about Dan? He's from Ashgrove. Yeah. I think the most I'd pay is $200. If it was a rare one-off performance, it would be okay to spend that much. I don't know what one-off performance.
What about if it's the NRL Grand Final?
That's not a concert, mate.
Oh. Well, it kind of is.
We're talking about concerts. This is to go and see music. What's the most you've paid?
I wouldn't have ever paid more than $100. I've never, ever.
You've never paid more?
Couldn't be stuffed. If it gets over that, I can't be stuffed. Turn the radio on.
I used to...
Yeah.
Turn the radio on. Ring up and request a song. I think the most I paid was to go to Big Day Out or Livid. I can't remember how much Livid used to be.
But Livid was only 120 or something or other, wasn't it, for the day pass?
It was incredible value. I remember that. And the Big Day Out in the Goldie, which was the best one, I remember that. I think it was about 170, which was fantastic value.
Oh, God, I loved Livid. I remember one day it was on the same day as Riverfire and the F-111 went over and all these people were looking and they just fell over. The whole crowd just fell over because they were looking up in the sky and lost their balance. That's living.
Can we, let's have a go. What's the most you've spent on seeing a concert to see your favourite artist? If you want to include travel, you can, because I'd, you know those people who follow tours around?
Oh, you go Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'd love to speak to someone who does that. That is passion. What about VIP tickets? Someone, they're the only tickets available and you love someone so much you got them.
The meet and greet, there's a classic story.
600 you'd be up for there, wouldn't you?
Of a meet and greet to go and meet Britney Spears when she's doing that show in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And when you got there,
what?
You spent an hour and a half with a friend of hers as she showed you the costumes, and then Britney appeared behind a screen.
Behind a screen?
Yeah.
What, Mozzies or what screen?
Yeah, and I thought, if you want to see Britney Spears, well, just go to the buffet at the hotel. She'll be there most days. Now, last year, this is average ticket price. So average ticket price, top three, ready?
Yeah.
At number three, Celine Dion with her Vegas residency. So that was inside like a smaller venue.
So that's every night.
$163 was the average ticket price. The Rolling Stones, the Zip Code Tour, which had a 14 city, the average price for their tickets was $174.
I'd pay that.
But the number one last year on a 20 city tour at $202.95 was Bardot. No, it was Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah, of course it was.
Who's Andrea Bocelli? At least I knew who Bardot was.
he's the blind opera singer. Okay. Here we go. What have you paid to see your favourite artist? Cal from Rochdale, what did you pay?
Oh, yeah. Hi, my mum paid $350 to meet and greet Susie Quattro.
What year did she say?
She's actually going next year.
Hang on. So for $350. Susie's
like 80.
For Susie Quattro, you can get Susie to come and clean your house top to bottom for $350.
I thought you say topless.
Yeah, she got the last ticket. There was only 40 of them, which was so rad.
40.
Wow. 40 of them. Right, I'm just doing the math. That's good for
Susie.
Will
Susie last until early next year?
Of course she will. She'll be
wonder if you get
ever,
money back there. We'll see. Daniel, is it Danny? Danny from Sanford?
Danny.
Yeah, hi, Danny.
Yeah, good morning.
Who was it? How much?
Now, I was promised no judgment with this. So in 2010, I paid $680 to go see Nickelback for gold tickets.
Danny, you're a nice person.
You are. You're normally so clever, as far as I've been told.
Did you have a great time?
You know what? The concert was actually cancelled, and everyone's money was reimbursed 3 months later. I was devastated.
Oh, my God. Why did they cancel it?
I don't know, actually.
No, I think I read about
this.
Give
me a reason.
No, I read this. Chad Kroeger had a perm that went bad.
Yeah.
And he had some injuries from
had his pants around his knees and tripped over.
Be nice.
I was being nice. That was. Here we go.
That could be why.
They've got a couple of good songs, Danny. I'll give you that. They got
Thanks,
a couple
Danny.
Of baddies.
Thank you.
Right. See you, Danny. I've just done the maths. Cal's mum paid $350
for Susie Q.
For the Susie Quattro meet and greet.
Oh.
There were 40 tickets or whatever it was that they've done. Susie's going to make $14,000 out of that.
Wow. That's undeserved. I'd pay her that not to sing. 48
Robert.
Drive. Robert from Redberg Plains.
Yeah, mate. Look, I've spent a big amount of money on a couple of tickets recently. About $750 on Queen tickets when they were just out here.
Yeah, they don't have a lead singer, Robert. What was going on there?
Adam Lambert. And they actually had an amazing, interactive setup where they had Freddie Mercury clips and he sort of doing duets together for the
team. Righto. That's a special show.
And I also just paid $1,000 for Guns N' Roses.
These must be special seats or conditions, are they, Rob?
Front row center.
Front row center.
Down. I don't have to worry about standing up, getting pushed in around people.
That's fair.
I'm in spitting distance from the stage. Wow.
Well, you know what?
I'd
you
want
might
to play
get
the
called...
drums for $1,000.
Hey, Rob, enjoy that, mate. Have a great time. The Gunners thing is
special.
That is going to be probably a once-off. They hate each other. That, you know what I mean? So that's a good one.
Of course.
Amanda from Murrumba Downs. Now, I hope to have someone who'd done the whole tour. Did you do the whole tour?
Oh, Springsteen
with
or the Stones or something, was it?
No, it was Marilyn Manson.
Holy moly. And
that's an angry trip around Australia.
How was it?
We went went to every city. It was my husband and I. We're huge fans. And at the end, it was here. It ended here in Brisbane, and he recognised us and gave us a hug.
I know fans. That would have been worth it, correct?
So worth it.
Now, did the show change much from night to night? Amanda, I've always wondered this.
It did. He'd sort of take some songs out, put some songs in. Yeah. He'd sort of stage antics changed a little bit from show to show. So
yeah, I know with...
He didn't do that last night I remember this. It was really cool. So it was really good.
I remember, Amanda, with Marilyn Manson, he would always choose a different part of the night to start bleeding from the head, which was always a wonderful opportunity for the fans.
What a change-up.
He's incredible, Marilyn Manson. That's great. Thank you, everybody.
What a holiday. What a way to take your yearly holidays, flying Marilyn Manson.
$680 for this. I like your pants
around feet. No,
listen,
Danny.
Don't judge Danny. And she got her money back too, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny's a nice person.
I like
and
you, Danny.
In life, we've all made errors of judgment. I went to my first concert ever was Billy Joel Stormfront, so I can't talk.
No, you can't.
It's Schoolies Week, and Marta, your son is there. He has been very hard to try and get hold of to get our official Schoolies report.
Ed, you should have seen last night on the news. You know, there was a bit of a blue in Cavill Avenue. Yeah, Kath and I slow-moed it, just making sure you recognise any of them. Nah, Harry wasn't involved. Move on.
Well, his crew is doing a very good job, and the official spokesperson for Harry's crew, i.e. the only bloke who's up when we try and call, is his mate Archie. G'day, Arch.
How's Val's going?
Hi, Arch. Hey, I better start with, where's Harry?
You know, Harry's asleep next to me.
Righto. Good.
Beautiful story.
All good.
Now, what was last night,
Arch? Was he home late, Arch?
No, he wasn't. Oh, he got home at about 10:30, 11, but kicked on in the room and didn't get to bed till a bit later.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, okay. Now, Arch, what was last night? What was the theme of last night?
Well, we decided to call yesterday Mango Monday.
Yeah. What, just eating a lot of mangoes?
Yeah.
No, cool. Well, what were you doing with the mangoes, Archie?
The 4X Gold Mangoes, what we call them.
Oh, okay. Of course you do. The Milton the Mangoes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's right.
Okay, excellent. And what's today? Today's Tuesday. What is it today?
Tequila Tuesday.
No. Tequila Tuesday. Be very careful. Hey, everyone, give us a normal day. Like, it's 8:30 now. Like, you'll be getting underway at 10. What do you do during the day as a schoolie?
Well, we basically get up, cook some brekkie, and then...
Bacon.
Some of us will probably head to the beach.
Oh, righto.
All the rest will just chill out in the room and we'll go to other people's places.
What, do you just pop into other rooms?
Yeah, we do, because like you're allowed into other people's motels from like certain times.
Oh, now, Archie, has there been any trouble in your apartment block? Are all the kids still in their rooms, are they?
Not last night. One group of kids got evicted.
Oh, no.
What do you get evicted for?
Apparently they were fighting and carrying on, so the security came in and kicked them out.
Good one.
That's the end of their schoolies.
We don't need any of those types around.
We don't need them. So just on Fumato's peace of mind, Harry's all good. Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, Harry's all good, alive and well.
Just have a listen to this. Have you heard any of these sort of people?
I love you. Melissa's mom.
Bye.
Is there much of that carry on going on at night time?
Oh, there is a fair bit of that if you go down to the beach parties.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeez, you're a sensible young man, Archie. You are.
Well played, Arch.
Well done, Arch. Back. We don't want to wake Harry, so you go back to bed. Thank you, Arch. We'll speak to you soon. And now, for the female perspective, we move on to the daughter of our very wonderful workmate, Rick, here. Hallie. Mm. Hi, Hallie.
Hi, boys. How you going?
Oh, you are such a sensible girl. What's a normal day for you at Schoolies?
Pretty much the same as Archie. I think everyone just kind of goes down to the beach. Yesterday we kind of decided we were going to have a bit of a family day and we just watched Dr. Phil and put on face masks and stuff. It was a little bit sad actually. But
What? Dr. Phil? Hallie? Nah.
You are getting ready for the rest of your life.
This is not going as...
Were you all doing Ellen dancing in your lounge room and stuff?
There was a bit of Ellen dancing, actually. Yeah, there was.
We've heard a rumour, Hallie. Have you had someone connected to this radio program try and friend you over the internet?
Oh, yes. No, I thought I did. but it turns out it wasn't. I had to give Dad a call because I thought Marto's son had added me on Facebook, but it wasn't him.
Yeah, just watch him. He seems to sleep a lot, but only in the mornings.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Hey, any trouble at you're at different places. Any trouble at your place with anyone thrown out or anything?
No. I heard there was a lot of evictions at one of the big ones yesterday, but I think everyone's still here. I think we're all safe at the moment.
All right,
Hallie. Now, Hallie, it's Tequila Tuesday. You know that, yeah?
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
Have you got your sombrero ready?
We've got sombreros, we do, but we don't have any tequila.
As an experienced person, keep it that way.
Thank you, Hallie. Yeah. Have fun.
She knows her parents are listening.
Only 3 hours till Dr. Phil, so make sure you get a comfortable spot on the couch, huh?
Yeah, I will. I'm getting the couch ready.
Oh, what a load of nonsense. You know your parents are listening.
Yeah, what we're getting. That's what we're getting, isn't it? We are getting the censored parents are listening version of this.
That's right, Marta. I'm going to see if I can get down there tonight, and I'm going undercover. Ooh, I'm going to put my sombrero on. Yeah. By then, none of them will know that I'm older than 50.
Undercover Marto tomorrow on Brisbane's Triple M. It's Marto and Ed for breakfast.
Marto, we've been talking about shark nets. Do you remember you were looking in the paper and we saw that? Well, it always comes up when there's footage or there's an attack. And there was that footage of the surfers. It was at Byron Bay and there was the sharks swimming underneath them.
Oh, God, yeah. At the pass there at Byron, yeah.
Yeah, that was the most recent one. And then we had, his name was Don Munro from the Board Riders Association around that area, talking about the possibility, well, now the reality of shark nets and whether or not they work. This is some of what he had to say.
Well, you know, it's a case of it's nearly 2 years now. It's been rolling along and, you know, we've had 13 attacks, one fatal, go back a couple more years. We've had another fatal. Yeah. And I know in Byron, I think we've had 3 to 5 in the last 10 years, I think it is, thereabouts. So, you know, look, it's like, hang on, are we going to go surfing? My yes, no, some are. And certainly parents are worried about, you know, having their kids in the water, you know, which is one of those scary things, you know.
Day they were putting the nets in. We've now had the whole weekend. We had a call from a very bright young girl who on that day we couldn't fit her in. It's time to talk to her after a weekend of having shark nets and everything else.
Yes.
Leah, you're an environmental and marine conservationist.
Yes, that's correct.
You heard that convo. Now, that guy, Don Munro, he was a surfer, but they acknowledged it has to happen. How are you with shark nets?
Oh, look, I just think that there's way better and smarter options out there. I'm a surfer as well. I'm in the ocean every second day. So there isn't a time that goes by when I don't step foot in the ocean and think, hey, I'm about to walk into somebody else's environment and ecosystem. I've got to think about this. So I really understand that. It's not something I'm removed from at all.
Yeah, Lee, I was talking to Tyler Wright, you know, the world champion surfer, and she was saying how she was actually, first time in her life, she was scared about going surfing after that incident with Mick Fanning when he punched the shark at Jay Bay. And we didn't talk about nets, but for someone even, you know, like her who is in the water full-time, it's starting to get into her mind. And it is going to start to affect the Australian coastline long-term if people stop swimming, stop surfing, etc. So what is better than shark nets then? What's a better solution?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. There's plenty of better solutions out there. And it's really good to look to South Africa and see what they're doing because they've already got a successful program in place. And it just comes down to good old-fashioned manpower. What's actually working in South Africa is this system called spotters. And it's where people, trained people, stand and generally view the ocean from towers about 40 metres high, and there's an alarm system hooked up.
It's a big coast, though. Is that enough, or would drones be a better idea?
I think drones is also a great idea. There's a whole number of technologies that are out there, and they're actually trialling this in Byron Bay now where they've got 4 people per drone, 1 person controlling it, another one looking at the screen, and another person managing the situation.
Leah, you're not only a conservationist, but you're also a surfer, and you used to work for Cape Byron Marine Park, one of the most beautiful places in the world. What's it doing for Byron, all this scare talk and all these shark attacks? Has it knocked it around?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it can't not. They're an apex predator, and that's something that we need to have respect for. But at the end of the day, look, shark nets don't work. What most people don't realise and what keeps forgetting to be mentioned is that shark nets are only 6 metres deep and they're only 186 metres across. Yeah. Most beaches are kilometres long. So just common sense and logic tells us that they just don't work.
So it's a deterrent, not a fail-safe method.
That's correct. And I encourage anyone to hop onto the Department of Fisheries website where they clearly say that they're not meant to be a shark barrier.
I thought what's interesting too is up here, I'm on the Sunshine Coast now, which is where I work as a conservationist, and we have a shark net at Coolum Beach here. And just 5 days ago, we had a shark spotted 200 metres offshore, and the lifeguard successfully saw this and evacuated everyone off the beach, and everyone was safe. So it's just a very clear example that they don't work.
That's interesting. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Leah, an environmental and marine conservationist. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks very much.
Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.